Hello and welcome to another MyTunes podcast, the first of 2022.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
Welcome to the first MyTunes of 2022. And hopefully, well, I'm pretty sure we will be uplifted in many directions with my guest this week, David Doricott. David, thank you for coming in for MyTunes.
Good morning and Happy New Year.
Well, exactly. Thank you, sir. Born and raised off the Isle of Man, northeast I've got as my reference point.
You've gone too far east where Blackburn led me. If I spend a weekend with my mum and dad, I resort back into Broad Lancastrian. I'm doing it now.
What were the family up to when you were growing up?
My mum and dad ran an ironmonger's shop in the middle of Blackburn town. But my mum and my grandparents were all in the cotton industry, which is all but gone now in Lancashire.
Now, a lot of people will know you for being a very, very generous man with the money that you make through your business. And we'll talk about that later in the week. Was this something that was part of family life? Was it something that you inherited from a family ethos?
My dad was a scout leader and our family life revolved around Audley Range Congregational Church in Blackman. We were three times on a Sunday, partly because of that commitment. It was really only in the mid-90s that the business started to generate the sort of funds that allowed for more than modest giving. And it's been a delight as the business has continued to grow over the last 20-odd years since we moved to the Isle of Man to be able to increase that more or less every year.
It's been a remarkable 20 years, and I say we'll talk an awful lot about that. But the business originally, I've got a little note saying something to do with forestry for you.
I read forestry at university, and that's in the days when my hero was Rick Wakeman, which I'll link back to when we talk about this first song. But I read forestry and then spent 3 or 4 years in private forestry, and then 3 or 4 years in state forestry. But in that period, I was developing my interest in computing and showing my age rather a lot. That was in the late 70s and early 80s when computing was really just becoming possible for most small organisations.
And you probably learnt languages such as BASIC and all those sort of
things. I was even before BASIC. I was in ALGOL,
my first
language, which was when computers were in a building in the university campus, and somebody sat me down in front of one, and I discovered I could actually work these things, which was a surprise to everyone, including me.
Where did your fascination and indeed incredible work with postcodes come from?
In the early stages of our business, we sort of accidentally started helping charities, first of all in Ayrshire, where we were based, and then throughout the UK, in the computerisation. And one of the most important things for charities is their donor list. And we're talking about typing some of those lists off record cards or transposing them off photocopy sheets or even in one case an addressograph machine. So we very quickly learned that it's a tedious job, prone to inaccuracy. Then in the late 80s, early 90s, discovered that accessing the Royal Mail's postcode address file could help us bring consistency and massively speed up the process. And sort of from the mid-90s onwards, we focused on postcodes, all 32 million of them now.
Wow. And outside of the United Kingdom as well?
We do bits outside, but there's something quite unique about the British postcode. I say British because it applies to the Isle of Man too, in that because they didn't just choose numbers like the Americans did, it's more easy to remember the postcode of your Auntie Mary, and because the city she lives in is the clue, and therefore they have become over the past, it's over 60 years now, not just the way we deliver things, but it's the focal point of political accountability. Government funding is based on postcodes. We talk about postcode lotteries, not necessarily because of gambling, but because where you live affects how government responds to you. So they're really, really important. But almost in no other territory are they able to do what we can do in the British Isles.
Let us have the first piece of music. And you mentioned the Rick Wakeman connection.
Yes. When my wife Anne and I moved to the island in 1997, one of the first things we did was find a church to join, and we joined Broadway Baptist Church. And the service at which we were welcomed into membership, so were Rick and Nina Wakeman. And at a later evening event, Rick shared with us that he'd been a session musician when a favourite hymn of mine, which has become a popular song, was first recorded with Cat Stevens, and that's Morning Has Broken. And I thought this was a really good song to start this new year on My Tunes, because it talks about new beginnings, and it also talks about the simple things of creation that are all around us on this beautiful island that I find really inspiring as I walk the Seagull Way, or up the hills, or down the glens. Rick shared with us that he is the guy who did the piano interstitial, which we all recognise, and when you listen to it knowing that, it becomes very obvious that that great guy, one of the best keyboard players human race has ever produced, has brought the song to life.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world. Sweet the rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light, Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new.
This week on My Tunes, my guest is David Doricott, who came to the Isle of Man, I think you said about 20-odd years ago yesterday, didn't you, David?
I did, and I was wrong. It's about 25. 1997, November 1997, we moved to the Isle of Man from Scotland.
But we didn't touch on why. So let's investigate what drew you to this funny old place.
We'd visited here as a family on our sailing boat. We felt that this was a place we would want to live. We needed to expand the business, which, like a lot of small technology businesses, had outgrown our home. In fact, we'd been kicked out of the house next door, but we were still growing too fast. And we wanted the place that we could build out the business, seeing massive expansion over coming years. And having visited the island with holiday lenses in our eyes, we came back to do a full recce. It was about the time that Princess Diana's funeral was on, so it wasn't that easy to do the recce. But we found that this was a beautiful place which allowed us to expand, to grow. It had good connectivity, it had good technology, and most importantly, it was a good place for bringing up family and enjoying the outdoors, which we have always done.
Now, you mentioned sailing at that time. You're still sailing?
I'm still sailing. I still sail the Irish Sea and the Scottish coast, the Clyde. I think I've been in almost every harbour that's possible to get a boat into.
When did you first take a look at your present location, the Mountain View location?
I was actually asked to look at it by another organisation who were thinking about what they might do there. They just wanted a bit of advice. And I remember walking down the pothole drive to see buildings which had trees 6 foot tall growing out of the gutters because of neglect. And I just thought, someone needs to love this place. It's a beautiful place. And it's a bit of a long story because that's now 6 years ago. Isn't time fly?
Yeah.
And every day when I drive down the drive looking at the landscape of North Barule and Sky Hill, it's always different, but always wonderful. I think it's one of the nicest places you could ever want to work. And when we welcome business visitors, they always do as well.
Which is a good thing.
Yes.
Today's track has a connection, direct connection, with something you were involved with there, doesn't it?
Yes, it was. Alison and I took over the production of a TV series called Friends and Heroes. And it was the first long-form animation that was translated into the Manx language a few years ago. But we commissioned some songs specifically to accompany the series. They're not about the actual narrative. But this next song, What About Love, sung beautifully by Serena Cutting, talks from the perspective of one of our heroines in the plot. She's a Roman citizen, a Roman girl. She has everything she needs. But actually, she looks at people who don't have what she has and reflects on her incredible wealth. And in the aftermath of Christmas, when perhaps we've got stuff that we don't need, a reflection on people across the planet who are not in such a wonderful place, I think is a good reflection and perhaps will change all our behaviour. I can't listen to this song without the hairs on my neck beginning to tweak, because I just think it cuts to the core of justice, of kindness. This is a lovely, kind and generous place, but there's always more we can do.
Everything a girl might want is not everything a girl might need. All this stuff that I own, the silver and gold, don't do it for me. Can buy is not everything I want to be. I just opened the door and something I saw keeps calling to me. What about love and kindness? What about truth? Showed me how I can care something I know, forward I might fight. What about love and kindness? What about truth and justice? What about good news for the poor and a life
My guest on My Tunes to kick us off in a rather special style this week on My Tunes is David Doricott. David, we've talked about the business and we talked about some amazing things, but we haven't yet really got stuck into your charitable, well, event that happens every year. AFD Software, which is your company, basically give an awful lot of money away every year. And probably throughout the year. But how do you decide where it goes?
That's an interesting one. We get, throughout the year, we get what we have affectionately called David, Dear David and Alison emails.
Yes.
And you can imagine what they contain. But since 1998, when we started our annual celebration of being able to give, we've invited every member of our team to nominate something that's special to them. And overwhelmingly, they've done that. Often those stories are really personal. They've maybe, for example, hospice has maybe helped one of their relatives in the latter years of their life. Or it could be somebody who's needed help with mental health. Sometimes they're organisations that the individual team member has been a volunteer for. So it's quite a big piece of work giving away money. And Lindsay begins the process in September of doing that invitation to our team. Coordinating the replies, contacting the charities. Sometimes she even has to convince the charities that this isn't some sort of scam to get their bank details. But yes, then we've held a celebration, not so much to hold up checks and take photographs, because that would be rather boring, but actually just to help people to meet the person nominating them, to listen to some of the charity's stories, and to reflect on how fortunate we are to be able to share the privilege of giving. And I could talk, of course, about the fact that giving increases your levels of serotonin and it helps your mental health, but it is just such a joy to be able to think that 40 or 50 people on the Isle of Man and in the UK have been able to make transformational change across the planet.
These donations, this money, is it always a lump sum, or are you sometimes committed to a longer term giving project?
A bit of both, really. Sometimes right. There's an emergency, we hear of earthquakes or volcano eruptions or the impact of war, or this year we've been very exercised about the situation in Afghanistan and the effect on the people left behind there. Sometimes it is a longer term commitment because you need to see a project through to completion. You need to be there every year. And some of our charities have received support from the business for all of those 20 odd years.
In terms of the actual business side of it, to develop and grow, obviously you have to reinvest a certain amount. Where is the business going today?
That's a great question to feed, because in the new year we're launching a new brand identity. We realise that our brand is well over 25 years old. In that time, people have tried to work out what AFD Software means. It was my first wife Anne's initials, Anne Frances Doricott. But people are trying to work out addresses and data. It doesn't work. So we're aligning under the new title of The Postcode People, because at Mountain View is the UK's best expertise on the UK postcode address file. We manage that file on behalf of the Royal Mail. We distribute it back to their customers and to ours. And we kind of know how to do that and to do it well, because without it, all those parcels that you're winging around, all those medical tests that have got to get to a new lab, all those hospitals that are being reconfigured, you'd lose track of them very quickly.
Let's have today's track, David.
Yeah, we have lived through quite a long period now of bad news. The television, the radio, the newspapers all seem to be full of things to worry about, and the impact on people's mental health has been catastrophic, I think. When I begin to feel that way, I go back to this very energetic song from For King and Country, the Smallbones brothers, two Australians now working out of Nashville and Grammy Award winners. And this song, I Choose Joy, begins with the line, "Lately I've been reeling watching the nightly news," and then moves on to the fact that choosing to be joyful is something we can apply our will to. And when you hear the track, I'm sure you'll find it difficult to sit still, let's say, no more.
Lately I've been reeling, watching the nightly news. Don't seem to find the rhythm, just want to sing the blues. Feels like a song that never stops. Feels like it's never gonna. Gotta get that fire back in my bones before my heart turns into stone. So when somebody please pass the megaphone, I'll shout it on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Oh, in my prayer tonight, I'm singing to the sky. Give me strength to raise my voice, let me testify.
David Doricott is my Tunes guest to start us off in fine style in this new year. We've talked a lot about the business. We've talked an awful lot about the charity. I want to ask you a few questions. We've only mentioned sailing, but what do you do when you're not being so incredibly busy as you are for most of the time?
Being busy is an illusion. I have a very good team, and if I hadn't got to the place in my career after 39 years of running the business where others know what to do, that would be a tragedy of my bad management. I know they're a great team, and they release us to be able to follow some of our passions. Alison and I have only ever scuba dived together, but we've done over 1,200 scuba dives now in all kinds of exciting places around the world. We just love God's underwater creation, and part of our worship is actually to enjoy it and to give him praise. So that's a passion. We love walking. We've, I think, done all the island's long distance paths in multiple directions. And Alison is a very keen gardener. I am a very keen sailor. We both tag along with each other's hobby.
You mentioned underwater. I mean, that must be, well, round here, a bit chilly.
Round here doesn't come into our agenda.
Okay.
We are warm water divers, I'm afraid. We love the coral reefs. We love the interaction and the majesty of coral structures and the creatures that tend to be around them. So, yeah, we're shark junkies, much to our friends and relatives' horror. There's nothing that makes you in a happier place than being with a school of hammerhead sharks.
I think someone once told me a similar fascination about sharks, saying that you're more likely to die tripping over a paving stone than be eaten by a shark.
We bring predators into our homes. We call them dogs. And let's face it, there are tragedies when dogs do bad stuff. There are tragedies when sharks do. But we're not part of their food chain, and they are incredibly misrepresented. We've been in dive sites with hundreds of sharks and never felt a little bit afraid.
Good. Hundreds?
Hundreds.
Don't cut your finger.
They don't recognise human blood. It's not part of their food chain. It
is
really
that
isn't.
Right?
No, their experiments have been done. Put tuna blood in a shark tank and they go mad, but put human blood in it and they stand, carry on.
Isn't that
really
fascinating?
Common, yeah.
Let's talk about sharks a second, because I had no idea about this. But they really are one of nature's great survivors, aren't they? But they go back such a long way into history.
They are amazing. And one of the dives that's most memorable in French Polynesia for us was being in current so strong, we were hiding behind some rocks, but the sharks were struggling in the current. And you can imagine that looked like. It was so funny.
Amazing creatures. David, in all the charitable work you've done, is there something that you still have a hankering to do? Is there something out there that you haven't yet managed to do?
In charitable work,
yes.
I think it is. There's such a never-ending need, and post-pandemic, the impact on the developing world has been horrendous. We're involved through a wonderful lady in our church with the development of schooling and training for orphans in Uganda. And all their career plans about going to university came to an end because of pandemic restrictions. These are life-changing events in Uganda, or in many other countries, it's even worse than that. So I don't think we have a particular focus. I think we quite enjoy being able to make a difference here and there. Sometimes we can't even talk about some of the countries that we've been able to help.
David, it's been a fascinating week, and we've got an amazing artist to finish off. Talk us through your final choice.
We've listened to this song on Manx Radio several times, a revival by Gregory Porter, a fantastic, powerful song. But actually, the words are drawn from the book of Isaiah, and the words are on one of our sculptures at Mountain View. It's a wonderful sculpture by Rupert Till of an eagle that is soaring over the Manx landscape. And it goes something like this. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Thank you. Great words. Here he is, Gregory Porter. David, thank you again and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you all.
I try to run, I grow weary. I try to walk, and I grow faint. Oh, I long to soar on the wings like an eagle. But I look down, and I'm afraid. When you lift me high up out of the fire, out of the flames, I lost the fear. When you give me meaning again, I'm singing revival,
revival,
revival song,
revival.
I'm singing revival,
revival,
revival song,
revival.
I try and define you. Lost my way, walked in the darkness in search of day.
Grateful thanks to David Doricott for being such an excellent guest, and what a way to start off My Tunes in 2022. I'm Mark Tiley. Be sure to join me for the Shore Morning Show. See what I did there? Every weekday morning, 9:30 to 12, if you possibly can.